Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from the Message Trust. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing, check out our website, message.org.uk.
So, Ben's chugging through James and Sam through Luke, and I have the joy at the moment of just jumping around the Bible, sharing some of my favourite passages. Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Feels a bit of a... I'm even saying that sounds a bit big-headed, but feels a bit like a word for the year, certainly for me. As I'm preparing this, I'm thinking, oh, this is it. This is fully what I'm expecting this year. Three words that maybe will define this year for us and the message as we go after these amazing goals and as God enlarges our territory. It's what's happening before our eyes. Everything I'm involved, it's like God's giving us more. He's seen what we've done for the last 25 years, but we ain't seen nothing yet. Do you believe it? Yeah. Honestly, I do actually. So let me read these first three verses. Paul starts to really open his heart. You know, people have said Paul's a bit dogmatic and a bit cerebral and he's a bit indifferent to women and all these caricatures. Not at all. He's a beautiful, soft-hearted man with a passion to see disciples. Listen to these lovely words. I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who've not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Three things that I'm believing and expecting to see in greater measure. First thing might not encourage you too much, but it's going to get better. The first word that came over, the thing I'm expecting to experience this year in greater measure is struggle. What a word. Not love, joy, peace, hope, excitement, but struggle. I'm fully expecting there to be a great level of struggle. You know, literally that word Paul uses at the start of Colossians chapter 2 is, I want you to know how hard I'm contending for you. Literally could be how hard I'm struggling for you. The ESV version of the Bible says, what a great struggle I have for you. Doesn't sound much like the abundant life that Jesus promises when we use that word. But often, discipling people is a right struggle. And Paul knew it, didn't he? Paul faced his fair share of struggles. Classic passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul lists all he's been through for the gospel, just obeying Christ. He talks about hard work and prison and nakedness and hunger and floggings and stonings. And several times he had the 39 lashes and on it goes, shipwrecks, danger, 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 he talks about. But then he says this little verse, and he said, besides all this, besides everything else, all this struggle, I face the daily pressure of my concern for the churches. There's this sense in Paul's ministry of, man, this is a struggle. This is hard. This is a battle I'm going through here to produce disciples. And there's part of me that doesn't want to struggle. I'm like you, I want an easy life. Oh, Jesus, I just want it to be easy. Can't we just have a little season of ease? I prefer it easy, but in my better moments, I'm so intent on the prize that I'm prepared to struggle to present more disciples for Jesus. I'm prepared to contend. I'm prepared to do what's necessary. I had a dream about Stevie. Is Stevie here? Stevie. I didn't tell him this. Don't worry, mate. I had a dream about Stevie, not last night, the night before, Sunday night, and Stevie had built this magnificent hotel. He'd built it himself. And he showed me this, and I'm like, Steve, that is amazing. You've built that, mate. And he said, wait till you see what's inside. And we opened the door, and inside were this massive auditorium, like way bigger than this, massive. And he said, and this is where the church is going to meet. I'm like, wow. And I believe that's a word for you, Stevie. You're going to build something beautiful in the kingdom. And I felt that. I felt. And you know, when you get, and I woke up in the morning really excited. And I believe it was a God dream, not just a little dream that I had. I believe it was a God dream. But it's worth it, isn't it? It's worth any struggle to see somebody presented to Jesus who's going to build magnificent things for him and see his church flourish and grow. But it's tough. We often compare ourselves, don't we, to the Salvation Army. Bit of a cheek, really. But we long to see some of the fruit that they saw in those amazing revival days. But the height of the revival was around 1882, when it really started to kick off. You know, they'd been going, Booth had been going for decades at this point. He'd had a little ministry in London and he'd called a Christian mission. He'd poured himself into the lost, and then he'd had this vision for the Salvation Army and in darkest England, the way out. I've got the picture on the wall of my office and all that. And God gave him all this vision to see things like he does and wisdom about the way forward. And suddenly there's this Salvation Army. And suddenly mass salvation, breakthrough, prisons emptying, crime plummeting, the most broken becoming the great saints. And then yet this, in 1882 alone, 1 year, 60 buildings used for Salvation Army purposes were all but destroyed by rioting crowds. In 1882 alone, 669 soldiers were assaulted. In Guildford that same year, the wife of a corps officer was kicked to death. A fellow Wimp Woman soldier was so severely beaten during the same parade that she also died some days later from the wounds she sustained. In Whitechapel, East London, Salvation Army lasses were tied together with rope and pelted with live coals. It was not uncommon for parades heading for the evening meetings to be showered with tar and burning sulfur. I mean, this is carnage, isn't it? This is war. No wonder they call themselves the Salvation Army. What a struggle, what a battle they were going through, weren't they? To just present disciples. All they're trying to do is love the poor and preach the gospel. And what a struggle that can be. And Paul knew it. Paul isn't talking about struggling here and striving without purpose, but the struggle of good old discipline and hard work. Simple fact is that everything that's worth having in life takes work. Very rarely is anything that's just laid on your plate deeply satisfying. The things that are the deeply satisfying things are the things that take hard work. And we struggle, don't we? We struggle against the flesh in that. The flesh recoils against hard work because we do want the easy life. We want to be on the back foot. We don't want to push ourselves in terms of studying the word and praying and mission and serving the poor. You know, in the flesh, we want to bottle out from all that and step back from that. And we don't want it to be a struggle in that area. We struggle against spiritual powers of darkness, demonic forces that can only be defeated in the heavenlies. And then we'll see the outworking of it. But we struggle towards that, don't we? Oh, the thought of pushing ourselves and going into that prayer room and going to that secret place, getting up early, we struggle against that. The flesh recoils against that. But we're not going to see what we need to see. We're not going to see Satan's plans thwarted without some people who are prepared to struggle. This Christmas, like you, I always see, I think you're getting less and less, fortunately, every year. But I get these newsletters from so-called friends. And they are people I kind of like. But they're not my friends. You know, if they were my friends, I would have seen them in the last 12 months, wouldn't they? Now, if those people who send me their newsletters with, you know, and the most annoying ones, the ones that tell us about how little Tristan's doing so well and he's captain of the rugby team and he's just about to go to Oxbridge, you know, whatever. You've had those, haven't you? And it's been such a tough year. We had a month in Switzerland, and then we had, you know, whatever it is. But you know, those people, I kind of like them, but they're not my friends. If they were my friends, I would struggle across the country to meet them, wouldn't they? I remember when I fell in love with a beautiful blonde called Michelle. But I remember, I was pretty obsessed with this chick. And in 1979, we just started going out, and I'd arranged to see her. She lived in Bramall, I lived in Cheadle, maybe 3.5 miles. And the snow came down, perhaps the heaviest snow I've ever seen in my life, like up to your waist. I thought, what do? I can't see my beloved.
So what I did is I set off wading through the snow 3.5 miles to Bramall because I had to see that chick. I had to be with her. And it was as if the struggle wasn't worth it. It was as if the effort wasn't worth it when I got there. If you're in love with someone, you're prepared to put up struggle to know them, aren't you? Yeah. To make them known. And time is your greatest gift, your greatest, the greatest thing you can bring. And a life without time given to struggling through, pushing through, contending for the things of God is a very small life. A life worth living requires struggle, but man, is it worth the effort. And any of the struggle we've given on behalf of God's purposes, we'll never regret that on the final day. So the second thing increasingly that I'm believing for this year, as we step out towards these great goals and God enlarges our territory, the second thing we're going to see increasingly is focus. And our focus isn't youth, lost, poor. Our focus isn't proximity network or advance or hire or whatever else we're involved in, Eden teams all over the nation, prisons ministry. That's not our focus. He is. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding and in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. That's our focus. That we may know him. And all the discipline and all the struggle in the word isn't worth it unless we know him. Unless it's all in order to know him. He's our focus. Jesus is our focus. It's probably time for a slightly tenuously attached football analogy. And embarrassingly, City won the League Cup on Sunday. And they're marching boringly on towards the quadruple. And I'm going to have to watch it happen this year. But anyway, what happened in the League Cup final on Sunday is Chelsea v City. Some of you have seen it. Right way into extra time, the goalie went down with cramp, Chelsea's goalie, this guy called Kepa. He's only on £195,000 a week, this guy. A week. Not a year, not for 5 years, a week. But anyway, so this goalie cost Chelsea 79 million quid. He went down with cramp. And so Courtois on the touchline. So the manager put him off. The screen went up. Off comes the goalie. On comes the sub. And the goalie stood there on the sidelines. And the guy's, you know, limbering up to come on. Also, this other guy is way better at saving penalties. We're about to go into a penalty shootout. So he's going to come on because he's the penalty saving expert. But this guy, Kepa, goes, I'm not coming off. And the manager goes, yes, you are. Hold your sign up. I'm not coming off. And the guy's limbering on the touchline. And the goalie's going, I am not coming off. And he's having an absolute fit now, refusing to come off the pitch. And David Luiz goes up to him, lovely Christian brother, whispers in his ear, I think you better go off really, mate. Starting to get a bit embarrassing this now. And he refuses point blank to leave the field. And the manager has an absolute paddy on the side, throwing his jacket down, storming, screaming at him, but the guy just won't leave the pitch. Now it's a picture, right, of all the discipline behind the scenes. I'm guessing this goalie has practiced for ages. But if you won't take instruction, if you won't look to the manager, if you don't keep your you're stuffed. So of course what happened is they went and lost in the penalty shootout. And Sergio Aguero, who's absolutely rubbish, tapped this little ball towards the goal and it dribbled past him into the net. And Courtois almost certainly would have saved it because he wouldn't listen to the manager's instructions. He was on his own agenda and he's probably going to lose his career as a result. Certainly lost his reputation. It's not enough, the point I'm trying to make, tenuously attached football analogy. It's not enough to just do the discipline, do the hard work. You've got to keep your eyes on the manager and you've got to flipping do what he says, even when you don't like it. Even when the manager says, actually, I prefer somebody else on the pitch right now. I prefer somebody else getting the glory. I've got somebody else who will do this job better than you. You have to step back. Because your focus is not you and your little ministry, you and your gig. Your focus is Christ. Your focus is knowing the mysteries of Christ in God, in which all the riches of God, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many? They're all wrapped up in Jesus. We're like that. How many?
All.
Should we do it again? How many?
All.
All. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And man, do we need some wisdom and knowledge. We were praying for that, weren't we, this morning? We were singing it. God, we look to you. We need wisdom and we need knowledge at a time like this. And how gutting, don't you think, that 2,000 years after Jesus, to so many in the world, he's still a mystery. The glorious treasures of Christ are still hidden. It won't do. It won't do on our watch. It's got to grieve us. Increasingly, it's got to become our focus that changes. Our job is to do all we can to reveal the mysteries of Christ to young people, to the poor, to the broken, to prisoners. Because without Christ, the world is chaotic, incomprehensible. You can have all the things in the world. Without Christ, you've got nothing. Yeah. It doesn't make sense without Christ at the center. And we know it. We must do anything to make Christ known. First thing I'm expecting this year is a struggle, and I'm up for it. I'm not going to go chasing it down, but I'm not going to be surprised when it comes. The second thing I'm expecting is a greater focus on Christ. And as we focus on Christ, all the wisdom and all the knowledge, everything else we need. The third thing I'm expecting in great measure is encouragement. Hey! My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. Paul says his purpose through all his mega struggles and his sheer laser-like focuses is that these baby Christians will be encouraged in heart and united in love. I love that. It's what I want for us increasingly. Encouraged in heart and united in love. If you've got those two things going on, it's going to be fine. If you've got those two things on, you're rich, whatever your bank balance says. If you're encouraged in heart and you're united in love, it's okay, isn't it? And the big thing that struck me as I was just meditating on this little bit is that the big thing about receiving the blessings of encouragement in heart and united in love, you can't receive it on your own. You receive those gifts in community. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. You can only receive it in community. And we're so blessed that we get to do life in community. Community call a message. Try doing it on your own. I bet some people in this room have done solo flight ministry. Wow, it's hard. But we get to do it in community, surrounded by people who can cheer us on and believe the best, pick us up when we fall down. Struck me as well that the two things that always seem to happen when people get disconnected from fellowship, you know, you see it all the time, people stepping out of church fellowship. The two things that tend to happen, in fact, in my opinion, always seem to happen is your heart goes cold. Have you ever met a Christian who's not in fellowship? Not committed to church, not committed to the believers. The heart's cold. And the other thing that seems to happen is you get bitter towards other believers. You start to blame other believers for all your issues. Because you can be encouraged and united, or you can be cold and bitter. I know what I want to be. And it comes in community. It comes as we commit ourselves to the messy business called fellowship. I really want to big up this morning the people who travel from all over the country. When you're not here, but maybe you listen to the podcast at once a month for prayer days. You know, people who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to travel from Glasgow, or people get that train crack of dawn from London or Wales or wherever it is. Because, man, you encourage my heart. You just encourage me so much by your presence, but by your testimonies and by the way you worship. There's that encouragement that comes from coming together. And I thought as I was preparing this, sometimes I wonder if I'd even make it if it wasn't for the encouragement of the saints. Just encouraging my heart, encouraging me. You know, the unity we sense, the people with one vision and one purpose. You can't do that by email. You've got to see the whites of people's eyes, haven't you? Yeah.
We've got to just love on each other and encourage each other. And I want to say today, why don't you encourage somebody? I bet you Stevie's encouraged. But even I hope he is. But you know, how easy is it for me at the end of this? I said it in front of whatever, 100 people and 100 odd people in this room, but how easy would it be for me to say, I had this dream about you, mate, and I really believe it. Well, do it. Encourage some people. Love on some people. It's amazing how easy it is to encourage people, actually, and just watch them swell with love and enthusiasm because I've said some little word of encouragement to them. I want to be better at this stuff, and I want to be better at being united with the people in this room and my brothers and sisters around the world. I want to be better at working at that because it's where Satan's great attacks come. So I'm fully expecting this year a serious year of unprecedented opportunity, a year when we're going to see things we've never seen. And we're going to see those things if we're prepared to embrace the struggle. Discipline ourselves. Discipline ourselves in the secret place. Focus our efforts on knowing Jesus and out of that, making him known. And uniting ourselves in love. And often all it takes is an act of the will. I'm going to be that kind of person. Maybe I've not been thus far, but I am going to be. Maybe I have been, but to a greater measure. And what a blessing you'll be to others. And what a blessed life you'll live. Because you'll live this breakthrough, overcoming life that Paul lives. Let's stand together. Lord, I pray that we can be people who contend hard. Struggle to see disciples. Lord, I pray for hire as we contend for those schools all across Yorkshire. I pray our goal of them being encouraged in heart and united in love, of knowing the full riches and having complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. I pray you'll pour that out all over Yorkshire, God. I pray you'll pour out, and Lord, help us to be people who struggle, but who have this laser-like focus on you and making you known, and people who experience more than enough encouragement to keep us going. And I pray for people in this room who are just a bit like, ugh! I pray today you'll give them some encouragement.
Yeah.
Just lift their eyes and look to you. We look to you, God. Thank you for the massive privilege of serving you. Thank you for men like Paul who gave it all so that we can be stood in this room so rich. And we are gutted that for so many kids, so many young people, you're just a mystery. And all God's riches are in you, Jesus. So we pray that won't be the case in our country and our nations we're working in. Pray, Lord, you'll raise up this fiery army of evangelists to take the mystery of the cross out into all sorts of dark places. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support or even get involved with one of our teams.